الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإن كنتم في ريب مما نزلنا على عبدنا فأتوا بسورة من مثله ودعوا شهداءكم من دون الله إن كنتم صادقين، فإن لم تفعلوا ولن تفعلوا فاتقوا النار التي وقودها الناس والحجارة أعدت للكافرين، صدق الله العظيم. Alhamdulillah, my respected brothers and elders, with the help and the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in tonight's Taraweeh, being the first night of the holy month of Ramadan, we have completed 1 1/4 para of the Qur'an Majeed, which is the opening para of the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Throughout this para, various topics have been discussed. Amongst the many topics that have been discussed in this noble opening juz of the Qur'an is the challenge which Allah Rabbul Izzah had offered the disbelievers that lived in Makkah Mukarrama. When Allah Rabbul Izzah challenges the pagans and the polytheists that lived in Makkah to produce one surah, one chapter like the Quran. If we go back to history and we study our history, we will realize that every messenger was sent to a certain nation, and Allah Rabbul Izzah had granted him such miracles with which he would challenge his nation. Thus, proving the truthful nature of his messengership and his prophethood, and he would then defeat his nation. So we find Nabi Musa alayhi salam, during his time and era, sorcery and magic reached the pinnacle, the climax and the ultimate level. Hence Allah Rabbul Izzah granted Nabi Musa alayhi salam such miracles with which he was able to combat and fight his nation, proving the truthful nature of his nubuwa. So Allah gave him the stick or the staff, which then turned into a huge serpent and devoured all the small snakes. Likewise, Allah gave him a shine on his hand. And with these miracles, he was able to prove that he is a messenger of Allah. Similarly, we find in the time of Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam, the sign of power and grandeur was to own a very glorious and a marvelous, powerful kingdom. Allah Rabbul Izzah granted him such a huge and a powerful kingdom, لا ينبغي لأحد, that no one could ever imagine having a kingdom like the kingdom of Sulaiman alayhi salam. Likewise, we find in the 7th para, Allah Rabbul Izzah discusses the mu'jizat and the miracles which he had granted Nabi Isa alayhi salam, that he was sent in such a time where the aim and the focus of most of the humans that inhabited the planet was advancement and progress in the faculty of medicine, where the main everyone's desire and everyone's wish was to advance in medicine and to grant cure to the sick, to grant strength to the weak. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him such miracles that he was not only able to give Shifa and cure to the sick, but rather he was able to even give life to the dead, proving that he is a messenger sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we find in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, eloquence in speech, poetry was the order of the day, where the poets of Makkah Mukarrama would spend days, rather weeks and months, composing poetry and couplets, trying to prove the eloquence and the command of the Arabic language. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had then revealed this noble Quran, which is so eloquent, rich and beautiful in meaning, that this Quran baffled and shocked the disbelievers in Makkah. They were unable to fathom and understand how is this unlettered, illiterate orphan who grew up before us, how is he able to produce such an eloquent speech which we can't even imagine of trying to compete with? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him in this verse that Allah challenges them. Call whoever you wish. Call all your helpers. Go ask for help from your idols, your false deities and gods. Sit together, apply your mind, research, contemplate, cogitate. And after, I give you some time, and after a period of time, bring not an entire Quran, bring one surah like the Quran. Allah then tells them, and Allah promises, وَلَن تَفْعَلُوا, you will never be able to compete with the Quran. Scholars write that whoever embarks on the journey to compete with the book of Allah, he will most certainly never ever reach his destination. Allah will make him fail miserably in this world and the year after. Allah then warns the disbelievers of Makkah that if you can't bring a surah like the Quran, then remember you're not on the correct path. Remember you're on the wrong path. So therefore fear your abode, which is the blazing hot fire of Jahannam. Allah Rabbul Izzah then in the next verse gives us a brief introduction of the fire of Jahannam. And later in the latter paras of the Quran, Allah will give us more explanation regarding the punishment in Jahannam. Here Allah suffices on a basic introduction of Jahannam, that Jahannam, the fuel of it that is used to stir up the blazing fire in Jahannam, the fuel will be people's bodies and stones. U'iddat lil kafirin, and this fire of Jahannam has been prepared for all those that deny and reject the divine revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then in the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turns our attention to the rewards that He has stored for the believers in Jannah. And this is the method Allah has adopted in the Quran and the sequence. Whenever we find the Quran discusses the rewards of the people of Jannah, immediately then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about what his punishment and torment and the blazing fire of Jahannam, or vice versa. Whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Jahannam, immediately then He speaks about the rewards that He has prepared for the believers in Jannah. And this is a proof of our iman being between khawf and raja. Our iman revolves between raja and khawf. On one side we have hope, on the other side we have fear for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah Rabbul Izzah speaks about Jannah. What is Jannah? Jannah is made up of huge gardens, lush green gardens, beneath which rivers will be flowing with sweet, palatable, drinkable water, which will be soothing to the eye, pleasing to the mind. That a person will look at these gardens and the rivers flowing at the banks, and these gardens will be situated on the banks of these rivers. It will be so soothing and pleasing to the mind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He then says in the next verse, كُلَّمَا رُزِقُوا مِنْهَا مِنْ ثَمَرَةً. Whenever the inmates of Jannah, they will be sustained with the fruit therein. They will say, رُزِقْنَا هَذَا مِنْ قَبْلِ, that we were given the same fruit in the past. Scholars of tafsir and the exegesis of the Quran, they differ as to what is meant by this verse. According to some mufassirin and ulama, that رُزِقْنَا هَذَا مِنْ قَبْلِ refers to the fruit of this world. That when they will be offered fruit in Jannah, they will proclaim that this is the fruit of this world. However, the texture, the color, and the pattern of the fruit will be like the fruit of this world, but the taste will be very different from the fruit of this world. Other ulama explain that this verse is also speaking about the fruit in Jannah. That when they will be offered fruit in Jannah, they will say, we were given this a short while ago in Jannah. But again, the same answer will be given to them. لَوْنٌ وَاحِدْ وَطَعْمٌ مُخْتَلِفٌ, that the color will look very similar, but the taste will be very different. Then immediately Allah says, وَأُتُوا بِهِ مُتَشَابِهًا, that they will be given such fruit that will resemble each other. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains, وَلَهُمْ فِيهَا أَزْوَاجٌ مُطَهَّرَةٌ, that for them in Jannah shall be pure wives. For them in Jannah shall be huri'een. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains in a hadith that every dweller of Jannah will have a minimum of two spouses in Jannah. And her beauty will be such that we read in the books of Ahadith, that if she has to appear in this world, if she has to expose her face in this world, her radiance and her light will outshine the glory of the sun. If one drop of her saliva has to get mixed to the waters of the ocean, the entire ocean will turn sweet. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَزْوَاجٌ مُطَّهَّرَ. They will be completely pure and clean from every type of evil and impurity. هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. And these people will remain forever in Jannah. They will never be asked to leave Jannah. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appears in many books of ahadith, that when the dwellers of Jannah will enter paradise, a caller will call out that for you in Jannah, you will remain here forever. You will never be asked to exit Jannah. For you in Jannah, you will remain young, fit, strong and healthy. You will never suffer any illness, any disease, any fatigue. You will never grow old. For you in Jannah, you will continue to enjoy the perpetual bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will never become wretched or unfortunate in Jannah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says again with great emphasis, they will remain forever and ever in Jannah. Allama Zahid Kawthari rahimahullah, a great scholar of the 13th century, he writes in one of his books that in 40 verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the eternal nature, the eternal life and the perpetual nature of the fire of Jahannam. And in 60 verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses the everlasting life in the gardens of Jannah, illustrating the boundless and the limitless mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah Rabbul Izzah to make us from the dwellers of Jannah, and may He grant us a beautiful month of Ramadan, and may He emancipate our souls from the fire of Jahannam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.